Okay, we are recording, Mr. Chair, whenever you are ready.
Okay, we are ready. This is the Parks and Recreation meeting for Tuesday, July 1st at approximately 6:40 at the Cameron Park CSD.
5:40.
5:40. Thank you. And the first order of the business is called to order, and we've just done that. Now the roll call, General Manager, would you call the roll for the two board members who are currently here now?
Director Scobie.
Here.
Director Bazek.
Here. Thank
you. We have a quorum.
Okay. Director Scobie, is there anything on the adoption of the agenda or the General Manager?
I have no
changes.
No changes?
Okay.
No comments?
Would you make a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Very good. I second that. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
It is passed. Okay. Approval of the minutes. And I don't believe we have any minutes, so we move on to open forum.
Yeah, we have
There's minutes in the back. Second page.
It's not in my handout.
Second page.
Sorry. Okay, yeah.
We're used to conformed agenda, and it's now minutes.
Now we're at conformed agenda. Thank you. Okay, so...
I'd make a motion to approve the minutes.
Yes, and you know that's new on our agenda. Approval of the minutes. Is it? I just don't remember.
It's usually conformed agenda.
It's usually conformed agenda.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
We're modernizing.
So so we don't use conformed agenda, we use approval of minutes.
Minutes, correct.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Okay, do we have any comment on the minutes? Seeing none, would you make a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
I will second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. It is passed. We now move to open forum where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of this committee. So, is there anyone who would like to speak to something not on the agenda? Boy, this is amazing. Okay. Well, we're all glad to have you here, so I'm assuming it's on the agenda. So we move to department matters and our recreation supervisor. Go ahead.
And I'm going to kick us off tonight.
Okay, are you on your report?
Okay. No, we're good. We're all good. I'm just going to kick us off tonight. So we've had a very, very, very busy month, as you may know.
Sorry, I stood up.
As you may know.
Continue standing.
And everybody's completely exhausted tonight, so if we don't make sense or if we look like we're just give us some grief tonight.
Would that apply to board members as well?
Yes, it does. But with the run-up to budget and then running right into Summer Spectacular, we've just been all hands, and so it's been really, really busy, and I couldn't be more proud of not just my team members here, but the entire CPCSD team, including the fire department. It's been an absolute amazing month or so, and so we've got a lot of good things done. So with that, you know, I'll kick us off really with some of the major updates. As you've seen around the facility, we've done a couple things to kind of clean some things up. We removed the trophy cases out in the lobby, and really that was an intent to drive more traffic to the center in the way of an electronic board where people can see our classes. They can see what's coming. They can take pride in the projects and programs and classes that we put on. And it's been very, very, very well received. And so we're also showcasing Cal Fire and recruitment, the Cameron Park Fire Department, some of the work they're doing. We've got the Sharks, their recruitment videos on there. Aquasol's going to put theirs on there. And then down the road, we'll also have some advertising on there that will offset the cost of implementation. So,
and that's Laura's handling that, is she?
What's that?
Laura's doing that, is putting that together, keeping that updated? Or full staff?
It's the entire team.
Entire staff.
Yeah,
okay,
the entire team.
Well done. Very well done.
So that's what's going on out there. Our biggest event, is, like I said, we're going to be a little clumsy tonight. Our biggest event was Summer Spectacular. And, I've got the opportunity over my career to be part of some really, really big events. And this is by no means a small event. This is a very large and very complex event. And so I need to, hats off to Clarissa, who has shepherded this entire event. And I can honestly say there's some blood, sweat, and tears in this from all of us in getting that. And really because none of us were here, right? And so none of us were here to see the inner workings. We know of it. Some of us have been to them, but we weren't here working.
You were newbies.
We were newbies, all putting
it
together. So we drew on our experience.
Yeah.
We drew on our trust in each other. We drew on the trust of our teammates, and we delivered what I believe to be a very, very successful event. I'm going to give you some very high level numbers, and these are very preliminary numbers because otherwise, and so I'm going to throw them out there, but understand that we're still going through and reconciling everything coming in. So as of today, our total cost to put on the event minus labor, and I'll talk about that one in a sec, was $51,086.93. And our total revenue, and this has everything from ticket sales to some large sponsors to vendor booths, grant from AQMD, food revenue from the food trucks, was $56,144, or a net positive of $5,057.07. And so that does not include labor. That's what we're going to be tackling next. I mean, obviously, our regular work hours were already here, and so there's no cost for that. However, there was lots of overtime that went with that.
But you don't typically have that many employees working on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, and then a Sunday to clean up, and then late night, early morning, we've had to do some interesting things where we split people in shifts, so they're there in the morning, they left, and then they came back again at nighttime. So we'll get all those costs. I still think we're going to be really, really close to break even, but we'll see how those numbers pan out. So with that, we had about $9,900 in pre-event sales for adults. We had another $3,200 in pre-event sales for children. One of the things that we did differently this year is we implemented, we accepted cash at the gate, and we accepted credit cards at the gate. That's something that the team decided on a Monday, and by Friday, we were active, and by Saturday, 15 minutes before opening, we were still testing, and it worked like a champ. So we were able to take credit cards and cash at the gate.
One of the comments I heard in the past why we didn't want to take cash was, you know, cash accounting.
Yes.
And then the cost to run the secured truck that handles the money. So, did you employ one of those?
Yeah, so we didn't employ a truck. The truck was not required or necessary, but we did have several security officers. Some of them were armed, and any time there was a cash movement, we had an armed security guard with our accounting staff, and they took the funds back to where it needed to be counted and secured. So that's how we worked that.
So you had a solution to it.
We absolutely had a solution. We also had a cash handling, off-site cash handling procedure we put in place. We got a good test of it, and so we'll be bringing that to the board as a policy. And so we'll be able to do those kinds of things, you know, in the future. So we were able to overcome those items by putting a procedure in place, having armed security guards, and everybody was really, really happy with the process.
And so you don't have the history. Oh, sorry. Go ahead and ask your question.
A percentage of sales for cash versus credit card?
At the gate, we were 70. I want to say we were 71% credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And so that and that makes it makes sense. A lot of it had to do with there was some confusion on whether or not we would be taking credit cards. I think there's some comments out there, and there's some media that said cash only. But so people were pleasantly surprised when they were able to get to the gate and they were able to use their card because they had other people that came with them, and they can keep their cash for some of the vendors and food trucks and things like that that were there as well. So it worked out really, really good, but it was a pretty decent split. There's a obviously a cost with doing that, but it was, you know, compared to the revenue that came in, it was de minimis, and we were able to overcome that no problem at all.
You know, Nextdoor has some incorrect information, I think, about it was sold out, or I mean, a bunch
that,
of stuff.
That was something that popped up on Nextdoor, I think, I don't know, it was probably
like
the Friday before, and so our team was awesome, and they start blasting everything out there, and we heard there's a rumor, nope, we're not sold out. And so Monday we were very concerned. I think we were only at 300 sales, and I'm like, oh boy, we're in trouble. And by Friday, I think that number was 1,200 or 1,400. By Friday, pre-orders, and then just the sheer amount of people coming in at the gate was unreal. And we had two gates, one at Barron Court and one at the entrance to Cameron Park Lake. So it worked out really, really
estimate
good.
Of total attendance?
Estimated, we had 3,000 tickets, and sold just about all of those out.
I mean, we had 3,000 wristbands, and honestly, I believe we walked away with about 10.
Yeah. We ran out of the front gate at one point.
At the front main gate, that was just a crazy rotation.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
Yeah. So we took some from Barron Court, and I think Barron Court, when my husband walked away, had 10 tickets in the field.
Yeah. It wasn't much. Cash at the gate was about $4,300. Sponsorships total at $27,000. The food truck revenue was about $2,500. And we had a grant from AQMD for $2,600, and that was to provide the shuttles, reducing the number of vehicles, and we've done that, you know, at each one of these events. So kudos to Clarissa, kudos to Mark and his entire maintenance staff. A lot of people don't. It's not just fixing things on the site. It is weeks of work in advance, putting 200 barricades out. I think I'm still hurting with them. You know, and it's super hot out there. And so kudos to everybody. It went off flawlessly. Lots of things we can improve upon, and we all got together. We have a long list of things that we're going to be working on. And with that, I said I'd be short. I'm going to stop, and I'll turn it over to Clarissa.
I'm giving very brief and preliminary as well. So, as Mo said, we had 11 outside vendors who came in and paid, vendors who were part of like the vendor booth area. We had 3 public safety vendors that were free, and then we had 6 main sponsors. We had 4 food trucks and 4 food vendors, and then we had Rotaryville and Moiré Brewing. Sorry, I just got up. I apologize. We had the flyover and the 3-tiered squad at from the air park, the fireworks for 20 minutes at 9:15, and the Cambridge Gate and Barron Gate tickets sold out and were sold until 9:15 at night. So we didn't stop selling tickets until literally when the fireworks started.
People still coming in.
We had buses and shuttles coming in, and it felt like the main gate never stopped for literally 4 hours and 15 minutes. So I can tell you, I was standing at the main gate 3 different times through the evening, and it was just continuous. There was no stopping it, so it was great.
The shuttles were bringing most of the people in, were they?
Yeah, the shuttle was bringing most of the people in. And then I know at Barrymore, they had the same situation. They had almost the entire parking lot full by the time the fireworks started through the air park. And that includes adding, last minute we added ADA parking, and that was full to the brim. So we had no more parking as we were leaving for the evening. So it was a great, it was awesome.
How many golf carts did you have shuttling from the airport?
So we had 2, we've had the same amount of golf carts every year. It's been 2 6-passenger golf carts and 1 4-seat passenger golf cart. And then there's a 6-seat passenger cart that goes to Cal Fire and a 4-seater. And the reason we do it that way is basically delivery-wise. If we were to order more golf carts, it's just a huge expenditure because they have to get another cargo truck to deliver that kind of thing. So we're at a good amount. And there were plenty of people who were delivered from, you know, one side to another. It wasn't difficult. I didn't have any real complaints about that. I think the one complaint in the evening was one of the shuttles got stuck for about 45 minutes on Cambridge before they could come pick somebody up. But it wasn't the shuttle's fault. There was literally traffic on Cambridge.
Everybody was leaving.
Yeah, any faster. So other than that, there were just people consistently moving through the whole event. And that's all I have to report on.
I might add just, and I didn't touch on my apologies, is the integration of Cal Fire and the district was phenomenal, and that was early on from the planning to the actual event. They had an army out there,
yes.
And we were 100% in unified command. We did have a few injuries. We had one that was transported off, and a couple others that were looked at while there. It was just a really hot day, but one was transported, and so they're fine now. But other than that, Cal Fire, they were absolutely amazing, and they helped with any and everything that needed to happen.
Really?
They were out there to do it for us. And I talked to Chief Dusty yesterday. They're blending in for about an hour. And it was just kudos to both teams for working so well together. The same radios, the same traffic. We ate together. We did everything together. So it was really, really positive. And that's because the relationship is so good. So I didn't want to leave that.
Well, it really shows up in a situation like that, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
They wrapped me up the whole event, though. Anything I ever needed, anything I ever asked for, anything like I could have turned my head sideways and they were there.
Could you give us some examples?
So, for example, the fire, Callan Richards is the fire marshal with Cal Fire, and he went through, looked at everybody. he saw how busy I was, how many different directions I was being pulled before the event even started. He came to me with recommendations and said, if you can get these three things done within the next, 20 minutes and get me pictures, he's like, I know for a fact these people are good to go. This is what we have to look at. And I got him the pictures, and he was like, we're fine. You're cleared. We're completely fine. When we did have an incident, Callan, Chief, Chief Dusty, and all of them, when we did have the incident, were on the scene immediately, and on top of that, very, encouraging, very, helpful. They just made it a very calm situation, which it could not have been, To have somebody leave on transport is not exactly easy during a ginormous event like
sure,
that.
Sure.
You've got to move people, and you've got people who are frustrated and hot and everything else. So it was, they were just kept the calm the entire time, and it was a wonderful thing. Same with the fireworks. When I needed help with fireworks, I wasn't, my phone actually had been used for credit card use to get people through the gates. Callum, first person who called me on the radio, hey, fireworks needs you. We need you to go get over here. It's not his job. You know what I mean? But he called me, let me know. Mark, same thing. We worked so well and so in such a symbiotic relationship. We're so lucky to have the staff we do right now, to be honest. Parks, facilities, those guys were endlessly helping me. So it was a fantastic event, not for one person in any way, shape, or form, but because this team works very well together, and that includes Cal Fire.
Absolutely. I'd also say, when you look at, one of the things, the phones started going dead, and obviously the readers started going because there was so much traffic. Chief Martin, hang on, I got a battery pack for you. Here's another battery pack. They gave us their battery packs, loaning us the radio so that we can have,
Because I noticed you had the walkie-talkie.
Yes, we all had the same radio.
Those
too.
Were from Cal Fire.
And that
they lent us those radios to make sure that we were able to transmit messages
to talk
quickly,
back and forth.
Efficiently, and well, so we could hear each other.
I think the biggest one for us is on Sunday. Mark's crew was out there again, but Sunday, that crew was out there, and it was as if the event never happened.
Yeah, by 11 o'clock, it didn't. You couldn't tell if there were 3,000 people around that lake.
Yeah,
I mean, it was unreal. They were out there with the trash picker uppers. They were, we had scheduled staff till 1 o'clock, figuring okay, we're having a big party, it's going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
But by 11 o'clock, we bought them pizzas, and they had all the leftover watermelon they could eat and doubled it down. But no, it was an amazing crew. And the day before, when we were talking to the fire team, and actually general manager went out with me, we did a drive around. We saw some tall brush over by the adjacent homes in the air park. First thing on Friday morning, they were back out there. They whacked that down within an hour. Just no remote chance. But I mean, there's always a remote chance. But it was far enough outside the radius. We have to clear 500 feet from the red buoy. It was outside that, but they still came and they just knocked it all down. So we were really comfortable going in there. I mean, it was a hot, hot, dry day, right? So you're shooting off fireworks. You always tend to worry about that.
I think one of the things that popped up, I know we're talking a lot about Summer Spectacular, but there's a lot to talk about. But, there's lots of gnats out there. If there was a drawback, I think that was probably the biggest one. I've never in my life... I've never seen that many gnats out. So doing some research, a lot of it has to do with some of the algae blooms in the lake, and so they feed on that, they breed on that, and some of the decaying materials. Well, the ironic thing is that Mark, in all of his resourcefulness, he had already secured a new lake water management company, and they came out on Wednesday. They treated both the lake and the lagoon, and everything had started to die by the next day.
The water quality looks so good.
It was absolutely stunning. And so all the algae blooms had started to die. They were starting to drop in. Some of the more aggressive vegetation, that took a little bit longer. But by Saturday, the large majority was gone. And so that was absolutely amazing. And so you'll see that gnat population start to go down as there's really nothing for them to feed on out there. So that worked out really, really good from Wednesday to Saturday morning. Man, we also got some good news out there. I'll pebble drop this a little bit. The pump was restarted on the lagoon. Ran like a champ. And so moving water and some interesting things. So we're going to be doing some more testing on the water and what that looks like out there to make sure, you know, what's getting into the lake, what needs to be repaired. He let us know there's about $1 million, $1.5 million worth of equipment that we have out there. Don't get rid of it. It's still good. So we've got some conversations and some things to talk about here in the near future.
I have a couple of questions. Do you happen to know, so we had 3,000. It'd be interesting to compare that historically with our other events. So if, I don't even know if you can get that data, but it would be interesting because that's a lot, which makes me wonder, can we fit any more? Is there a max number that we can stick in there?
Yeah, I think 3K? That was about the number is what I heard mentioned out there. But we can talk to Chief Richards and see, can we fit more?
Yeah, because if we're selling out the first time we have reasonable prices and stuff, we might want to consider, you know.
Absolutely.
If we can fit more. Mm-hmm. Did you recognize the Air Park with their contribution to parking? Yeah.
Yes.
Did they get some sort of sponsorship or call out?
I've already contacted them. I'm already sending them notes and things like that for their contribution.
Great.
And really the flyover is the big part, and I'm working with Denny Salzman, who's going to be the new manager over there, mm-hmm. or is working to be the new manager of the airpark, to get them just information. They want to be a part of more things, so yeah, okay. We're working together right now.
Did Waste Connections bring a booth?
Yes.
Yep.
Good. And then...
they brought a lot of things.
The comment about the gnats, so I've lived out there for 10 years. Uh-huh. This was not a bad gnat year. You have not seen a bad gnat year. You cannot walk.
You're going to tell that poor lady whose car was completely covered.
You cannot walk that lake without closing your eyes. It can be that bad.
Oh, that's good to
and
know.
And so I understand that you're... From my experience out there, those bubblers do appear to be dropping the population.
They're working.
And as I'm just giving you my feedback.
No, we appreciate it. That's good to know.
That was not a bad gnat year.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Thank you.
I think the price reduction was so smart.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said before, I was talking to you folks, but I saw more young families with young kids than I did previous years. And that just really was very gratifying to me to see that these are people who get our future in our community, and they
Absolutely.
Were there enjoying it. And so that pricing was right on, I think. You really hit out of the park there. And I wonder, the parking, I think, is going to always be a challenge. And I mean, that's the same thing. At what point are we limited or not? I don't have an answer for that, but it's all we could hope for.
Yeah.
The one thing I would ask of you is, I know in schools, and you have in fire kind of a critical incident mm-hmm. report, I would love to have a binder of things that went well and when things that could be improved on, maybe in all aspects of the department that you're passing on, and hopefully it's going to be you folks next year, but how can we do it better, or can we do it earlier? I also think about earlier, the heat was always a factor, but it opened at 5. Would it have been better to open at 3 or 4 or whatever? I don't know if that maybe would have helped with the congestion a little bit. Actually, the temperature in the shade was not bad.
Yeah,
it
wasn't horrible.
But out in the sun, it was hot. It was pretty awful. So I've always interested, the financial thing, the numbers thing, but just how did our staffing, what did we do and what worked well and what we could do differently? And it seems, Clarissa, you need an assistant. I mean, that seems obvious to me. There's just not enough of you to do all the things you did.
I have a team. Do you?
You
got
to back up.
This whole staff right now is a complete 100%. Symbiotic team.
Okay, and that might be delegating authority to different, you know, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you did that, but maybe formalizing, how can we do it better? And because you did it so well, and we want to continue that as well as that, and maybe can we improve on it? Because, the funny things, I rode around with one of the riders, just to get an overview of the thing, because I was at the Rotary thing, and we sold out too, by the way. We had no idea the numbers. You know, we kept asking Clarissa, what do the ticket sales look like, and How much mix do we get in ice and everything else? And that was a successful event. People missed not having wine, so we might do wine next year for Rotary. So wine and margaritas. God, I lost my thought here. Oh, I know. So I took a ride with one of our people just to get an overview.
And it was impressed to me. She was just picking up and delivering people. People needed this. We had handicapped people there. We had a large group of older people or young children. She delivered ice for the lemonade stand. I mean, I just thought that was quite extraordinary. And how you put that together, or how can you make that little better to help those vendors? Because we're so congested, if they run out of ice, and we at Rotary, we could have been the same thing. How, is there a way we could have gotten some backup, more mix and more ice or something like that? So that would be just one thought I had. But and I almost wish we had little bells on the golf carts or something to let people know you're there. But we got so many kudos on just helping people in so many ways. So, and then every staff I interacted with was positive. I went around to all the vendors and thanked them for being there, because I said, you guys make this our community special.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we do that enough of that. And they were, a lot of them were just like amazed that somebody would thank them for being there.
Nice.
And often it's their livelihood or it's their job or whatever it is. But there was so many things that went well. I just can't say enough kudos to you guys for that.
We've already started that debrief process, so I appreciate your comments. So there is a binder now. There'll be an even bigger binder. We'll start planning earlier. So we're already starting the planning phase, really, for the next event already. So we're moving down that path. Last thing I got for you is we did, for the first time, we had a pop-up concession stand, Rec Refresh at the Lake, from CPCSD, or powered by CPCSD. So that was very neat. And so we did just shy of $1,000 in sales out of that concession stand.
What was that?
Concession stand by the district.
You had your own concession stand.
There, yeah. Just light snacks, you know, water, sodas,
ice cream
for the kiddos, things like that. And it was very, very successful. So.
Another comment, feedback I got is if we're so successful, I think our chance of getting sponsors increases because of high visibility. So you've got the bragging rights of how successful it was. Now I'd really like to see more of our organizations, our professionals, putting their signs, their banners.
I think you'll see them come back, and not to air dirty laundry, but Clarissa did a great job. There are some vendors that were soured from last year.
Sure.
And they wanted nothing to do with us, and some said no. So Clarissa twisted some arms and promised, and we got ones there, but I think that people will see the success. They'll see that we want to work with you. They see that we want you to be part of it. And I think we'll have even more sponsors next time. But that definitely, last year left a bad taste. It was painfully obvious.
Tell them there's a new sheriff in town.
And her name's Clarissa. So that's what we have for you on that. Summer camp?
Yes. Okay, so
brief.
Summer kids camp and swimming lessons at the same time, just so you have an idea of what's going on. So the first week of summer camp, we had 55 kids enrolled with a maximum of 60. The second week, we had a lower number at 40 kids enrolled. And then last week, we had 55 kids enrolled. We don't have summer camp this week because notoriously this week has been much lower as it's 4th of July and a lot of people take off for this week. And it doesn't serve us to force our staff into watching 15 kids over 51 or 55.
Yeah, sure.
Plus, our rec leaders could use the break as well as our swimming lesson instructors. But next week, we have another 51 kids enrolled for camp. So we've got a really good average going on. And we've had higher enrollment numbers for all of our extra camps. We started with our D&D camp this summer, which was one of our camp counselors, who's been here for like 4 years. I encouraged him to start his own camp, which he's been doing. He's had an average of 10 to 12 kids.
And what is that exactly?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, pardon me. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
So it's all where the kids go in and actually not only play Dungeons and Dragons, but also are encouraged to create their own kinds of board games. So it's a great camp. They've been doing really, really well. We've had fantastic numbers with the volleyball camps. We've had 14 kids 1 week. We had 20 kids another week. And we had 15 kids on the third week.
What's the age range on that camp?
So that camp is, I believe it's 5 to 12. But I could be wrong. I apologize. I'm not sure on that one.
I think you're right.
I am wrong. It's 7 to 12. So we still have had really great numbers with it, and we have other sports camps through National Academy of Athletics that have the 5 to 4 to 7 range. So we do have some camps for the smaller kids to play, to do sports. So, yes, we've done really well with our camps this year, even our split camps. And then with swimming lessons, for week 1 through 3, we've been sold out with wait lists, and we've been asked to provide private lessons. The only problem is we don't have the instructors to provide private lessons. So next year we hope to ramp up and have actual private lessons here as well.
And who are your instructors?
I'm sorry?
Who are the instructors for the private lessons?
It's our normal...
It's our staff?
Yeah, it's okay. Our staff. Our staff would come out and when there are like time slots throughout our lesson 2 hours that have less lessons, we have our instructors do like a private lesson. The problem is right now, like I said, we're a bit understaffed. But we have plans to carry on. Last year when I was doing this and had 21 staff members, I had virtually no inquiries about private lessons. This year when I have way less staff, I have every single week inquiries of kids for private lessons and no teachers to teach them really.
So does the staff get part of the compensation for that lesson? How does that work? Is it a split?
They don't. But right now, what I'm doing is encouraging my staff to kind of put themselves out there for private lessons. They work really hard here for our regular lessons, and so I've kind of put it out there and encouraged them. I have some parents, I've said, if you want to bring your information in and you're interested in having our teachers teach your children, that's not a problem. We can't have it on this premises, but anywhere else, any other time, by all means, please contact them. And it's been beneficial to them, too. So, yeah, that's what we're
doing. So they earn extra, our staff gets extra hours in or something like that?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And it helps them. So I'm really supportive of them. They've done nothing but help me, so I'm here to support them in every way that I can. And then the last part is ActiveNet. So I'm going to make this short and sweet,
I'll take ActiveNet.
You'll take it?
So okay. ActiveNet, we are working through the process on that. You'll likely see a draft contract come through. Being that the budget was approved, we'll bring some more language once it goes to the attorney. We'll bring that to the next board meeting, give you more information. Implementation time sounds like it's kind of compressed down, so that's a good thing. So as soon as we get that information, we'll bring that to the board for full approval, purchase, and move forward on it.
Do you have a time frame on that?
For next board meeting, it will be in front of you.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So this month?
This month.
Nice.
It is July already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holy smokes.
What happened to June?
Yeah, I was still thinking June. Caught up with me.
Thanks, it just hit me.
Okay, our Parks and Rec supervisor.
All right. First off with the project that seems to not want to ever get done, the robotic arm. It's ready to go. It's been tested 10 ways to Sunday. I'm waiting for the company that built the system to change the software so that it can ignore one character in our existing barcodes. So our existing barcodes have an alpha character and then it has a series of numbers. Their barcode algorithm, if you will, doesn't know what to do with the letter at the beginning of our series of numbers. So they're reprogramming that to ignore that character. Once they do that, the silver lining of all this is that our existing annual passes will work. So we don't have to reissue annual passes. We don't have to change the format of them. I don't have to issue RFID cards. Basically, if you've got an annual pass, it'll read it. So I hope it's worth the wait. Otherwise, we would have had to have changed all of our annual passes. Everybody would have bring their old one in, we assign them a new one. And then the downstream problem of that is then going to ActiveNet. ActiveNet would want us to go back to barcodes. So it's been, I wish somebody had asked these questions a year ago, but they didn't, so I get to find out the hard way. So I'm pinging the company every week. I send them a reminder, hey, you know, we need to go. Unfortunately, we paid for the system in full, thinking it was ready to go. So I have no financial, I can't hold back a payment and say, until you get this done, I'm not going to pay you. They've already been paid, unfortunately. Pickleball site design.
Mark, real quick, on the on the passes, since can we use them year over year so it will detect if they hadn't paid and say, hey, go renew your pass?
Yes. So in the system that And we're looking, it's called an API, but in the system that controls the gate, I can put end dates to it. So I will marry the end date that's in our current computer system to the end date that's in the parking box system.
Oh, so
it'll know. And then when you update it, if you come in and say, hey, I want to renew, when you put that into our system here, then it gets keyed into that system, so they're always going to be linked.
Okay, great.
I have nothing. Okay, Nick, go ahead. Pickleball.
Pickleball site design. Okay, so we've met with, what's the guys?
We met with the engineering firm.
The engineering firm, and then also the pickleball doctor.
Oh, the Dink Doctor, Cameron Orr.
Dink Doctor, that's it. You have pickleball doctor, yes. We haven't made a lot of progress on this. We have an initial concept design. If we're able to acquire additional land to the east of Krista McCullough Park, we still have the designs that were created for putting pickleball in the grass area of the park, but we need to quantify the impact of that. Putting those in there, knowing what I've learned from pickleball designs elsewhere, that will have an impact on that field and the use of that field. It will also have a demonstrable impact, is that the right word, on parking. And parking is already a challenge along Mary Chase. It says Mary Chase there, right? Yeah. So it's not like, well, we could just do this, because you have to think of all, like my parking box, you have to think of all the downstream problems that you have. So we're working through that. We've had some initial discussions with the church. I think it would be preliminary to say that we're further along than we were before we started the budget process. So
I think where we're at is looking at all the options as opposed to just looking at one and going. We're looking at everything that's possible out there. I think that's one of the things that we've talked about, is getting as much information as we can, bringing the options forward and saying, hey, which one makes sense? We had I wouldn't even really call it a design. It was really some courts put on the actual Krista Park soccer area. But I don't think it was necessarily engineered, if you will. The one that we're looking at now, that one, an engineer is looking at that one. In addition to going back looking at Krista, will it fit there, yes or no? And then the next question is, what will the impact be to the actual soccer fields themselves? We already know what the impact's going to be on parking. There's going to be an impact. But what does that do for soccer? Yes, you can likely still have the fields, but where will the parents sit and watch, and the kiddos sit on the sidelines and watch? What does that do to the T-ball box? What does it do to those? So those are the questions that we're trying to answer. All of this information is going to be used as part of our comprehensive analysis that we talked about on all of our facilities, and then bringing that back to the board for some tough decisions. There's a roughly $2 million-ish in parked impact fees. We have some other funds that are available. We want to make sure we're maximizing the use of all of our funds and getting the biggest impact on the larger community. So those are the things that we're looking at. You're going to see the pickleball component as part of the overall plan, if you will, on what we should do. And then we prioritize them. I think it's also very important to get community input. What does the community want? What does the community prioritize with the limited funds that we have that aren't necessarily renewable just due to the fact that we don't have a ton of growth in the area? So we're still going on that project. I know it's been a long time, but this team's going to make sure that we do it the right way and bring the appropriate options forward and make decisions based on those options.
Well, the question I have then, since parking is the big challenge, is have you just looked at MOUs with the school district and with the churches and all the available parking in that area, because there is actually quite a bit.
Yeah, we will do that.
Okay.
When you look at the schools are a little bit tough, but we can certainly look at that. The school district that we have here, they're not as open to MOUs. In Eldorado Hills, they were a little bit more open to that, but that doesn't mean it's a no. It just means we need to have more conversations. With respect to the church, they've got a growing body over there as well. Their administrative building is already down the street on Cambridge right now, and they're actually looking, which is why we started having the conversation with them. They want to build an administrative building on their property, and so you're going to have some impact there as well. So those are the things that we're talking about with them. Lots of moving parts for sure.
So you're going to be doing a survey and outreach to the community. Do you have any time frame when that might be?
Yeah, I think we're going to do it concurrently with assessing all the parks. We've already started on the lake. We've already started on Krista. And the reason why we started at Krista, and Mark's going to touch on it here in a minute because he's an archaeologist now. I don't know if you knew that. But with the number of leaks that we've had over there, the plumbing, we had to prioritize that one. So we're looking at everything that we need to get it up to a level that's safe or continue to be safe. But with the water issues that we've got out there, we've got to put some funds into that. The lake, obviously, you know, there's a renewed focus on that. We've had some challenges. We can't allow that just to not be maintained. The water quality, as we're learning, when you don't maintain the water quality, that has a absolute impact on everything surrounding it. So that's a big focus for us right now. Rasmussen, obviously, that's a focus for us as well. In addition to that, we have some flooding challenges, not on our property, but that impact our property. Clearly, there's a lawsuit that's out there on that right now. So that's a focus for us and a high priority for us as well. And then the last one, right here. The community center. How did I miss this one? Sitting right here. The community center. We're putting a big focus on the community center and bringing some things up to speed. And they're starting to notice those things. And so the intent is to put a little bit of money into it now, so we're not paying a lot of money down the road. So, for instance, the fencing around here, you're looking at several $100,000 worth of fencing, if not more. And so getting that painted and protecting that is going to cost a lot less than replacing whole sections out there. That's a mindset that we have today. The pump, getting the pump put in as soon as possible, as soon as the pool dies. The pool's busy from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every night. So as soon as we get downtime, the pump will go in. We'll get the other pump redone or rebuilt, and then we'll have a backup. So those are the types of things that we're looking at. But like you've heard me say before, I think we have to focus. We can't focus on every single park. We need to look at those four areas and say, this is where we're going to invest those funds in.
Go ahead.
Okay. concession stand, actually, I want to touch on two different concession stands. So this is just on the agenda. It's a disc golf concession stand. As the general manager alluded, we had a pop-up concession stand out of the Summer Spectacular. It was a success. We now have possession back of that. It was sublet, for lack of a better term, by the prior person who we had agreement with that has run out. So we're back in there. We're going to clean it up. We're going to look at staffing it, whether it's ourselves or a third party that wants to be part of that, plus maybe taking on some more responsibilities for the disc golf course. I think it's a great opportunity for us. If you go to that park on the weekends, there are people around. They will buy waters. They will buy chips and snacks and things like that. So it could be a good revenue opportunity for us. The other concession stand sits right out here. It used to be one. Then it got converted to an office. We want to convert it back into a concession stand and also a check-in area for the people in the pool. If you look at the traffic flow, for lack of a better term, we're not really sure of who is an annual pass holder and who is not when they go into that pool. The lifeguards do the best that they can, but their job is to make sure that nobody drowns. So if we can modify this building here enough that we can do check-in there, currently they're coming into the main office here, but as they go there, then they come back here, they check in there, and then they go back out here. It'd be much more efficient to have everything done out there. And then they could also sell sunscreen, beach towels, pool noodles, whatever else. So we're looking at that option as well to, A, improve our security of the pool and checking the right people in, but also making some additional revenue, because it was at one time a concession stand.
Now, I might tag on to that really as well. We know that security needs to be addressed here, and I will tell you that's one of my highest priorities. It's we're just not a secure facility, and if you go to any school, you will see their fencing and how it's at, and how it's controlled access. Some of the other aquatic centers, how they control the access in and out. Even our camps, you know, if you're not watching, a kiddo can walk off really, really quick here. So those are some of our concerns. And then we've also had, you know, some folks that they might come in and use the restroom, but we've got, like I said, this pool is busy from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every night. We don't know who's out there. We have had notice from EDSO that we've had some bad actors visiting our parks. And so security is my highest priority here for this facility. You're going to see some changes, and I know that's going to cause some pain and some heartache potentially for some folks, but we really need to know who's checked into the facility. So likely, if you check into the facility for one of the services, you're going to have a ban that says you should be here. And that's one of the things that we're looking at. The other thing is like pickleball, very well used. In fact, sometimes it's too well used, and there's long wait times, and then you know I get a chance to chit-chat with folks out there. But we need them to check in as well. The pouch just isn't working for us anymore. It will be a finding, you know, in our audit, in the way that cash handling, that's not an appropriate way that we're doing it. We know it, and so we need to fix that. So we're going to be looking at that. And it's also no different than what we do out at the pool itself for rec swim and lap swim. Basically, it's an honor system, for lack of a better term, and you put your name out there, and there's money that goes into a pouch, and that's just not – that worked years ago. That's not a best practice, and it will be an audit finding. So we're going to clean that up as well. But the check-in will be out there. That's the main point. Everybody goes in. We know who's on the facility. We've checked you in. We've taken, if they're paying cash or charge, they can do all of that there. And then it's just a little bit more. We have eyes on out there as opposed to just in the office.
Are you thinking of having people at the gates and at the gym to check wristbands? Are you going to have to pay another?
Yeah, well, no, I don't. It'll just be us walking around. So,
okay.
I get up and about. I know Mark and Clarissa does as well. We're always popping around. And we'll know what the color of the band is that day. Or if you're an annual pass holder, you'll have a certain band. And it's just a quick look. And if you don't have a band, we just check in on you. Hey, how's your day going? Hey, I noticed you didn't have a wristband. And we really need you to check in. And it's all about security in the facility.
I know you and I spoke about gating the entryway because you have children as young as 6.
Yes.
Or even preschoolers here. It's hard to imagine we don't have that secured. So what is your thought on that? How would we know?
That's 100% part of the security assessment. We've already been in contact with EDSO. They're going to come out and do a threat assessment of the entire facility and let us know where our weak points are. But this is one of our weak points out here. Anybody can come in off the street or leave, and then the other weak point we already know is back here as well. So those are things we'll come up with the plan and say, hey, here's what we need to do, and then we'll look for funding to put in place whatever.
And I think it's going to be reassuring to parents of young children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it hit me again when we have 3 camps going at once. We had D&D, we had Archie Squirrel, we had basketball camp going, we had lifeguard lessons going over here, swim lessons going on over here. Oh my gosh, there's kids everywhere and they're running back and forth. I'm like, hey, are you in camp? You need, hang on a second. That we can't have. And I know the parents see that. They drop their most precious thing off every single morning, and we want to make sure that we get them right back to them when they come to pick them up. So you're going to see that as one of our highest priorities here.
Thank you.
Perfectly an open campus.
Yeah.
Right, so after that, when the school's in session, those kids can get out, they can walk right through the gates, right through into the pool. We need to tighten that thing up. Which brings me to the next point, computer, community center security. We're going to do a beta test with a video system from a provider that does a lot of campus security for, for typical businesses. We're putting up some cameras. They also do automation of, these doors here. So if we want to secure an area, you can do it remotely. You don't have to run around with a key. A lot of times we'll have an event that runs till 9 o'clock at night. Well, my staff typically isn't here till 9 o'clock at night, so myself, thankfully some of the rec team will come help us and lock it up. But I'm paying staff, or one of us is coming back after work to go lock that up. There's technology out there that from my phone I could go lock the gym door. After looking at the cameras, nobody's in there. Lock and unlock the doors. Also, we got the notice, the heads up about being an evacuation center.
Mm-hmm.
We're in fire season now. They gave us a heads up. Hey, we might need to bring folks down there. So, we went into action. But then again, now you'll have a large group of people, not from necessarily the area, occupying parts of your buildings, but maybe you don't want them into other parts where you've got kids because we have the showers out there. So some of that security we should be looking at proactively and tightening all that up. So we're talking to a couple of companies. We're looking at it. I think after the security assessment, we might be able to apply for a grant to help offset those costs because we are an evacuation center.
Yeah.
Well, you know, schools have the, what is the stay in place? What's the word? We're locked down.
Shelter in place.
Shelter in place. And it might, I mean, we haven't had that, God, thank goodness, yeah. But that isn't foreseen. I mean, it's as many people as you have here.
Absolutely.
That you probably should have a plan in place for that as well.
Absolutely.
And being able to secure, lock the doors, and maybe having staff some training. That might be one more thing.
That's part of updating our emergency plan. That's on the list as well.
Yeah.
We've got, this is a great organization. It's a beautiful facility, and I just think that we're 10 years behind a little bit in some areas. And so, for instance, we give keys out to individuals who have a program here with us, and that makes me extremely uncomfortable. Those keys, it should be a very secure facility, and we just got to get back to that point. It's not a good practice.
Well, even to the point where if an employee leaves,
yes,
you know, the keys say do not duplicate, but I think we all know
they're duplicated.
How easy that is, right? There are systems where electronically you can change the lock, right? But we need to upgrade to something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Last, because I know we're running along here. Christopher,
excuse me. We're going to get public input next. Did you have something you wanted to ask? No? Okay. Very good. Okay. And I apologize.
Sorry. Your blast back there.
Okay.
So the general manager alluded to it. We have had a double of the time since I got here with plumbing, irrigation at Kristen McCullough. See, I'm pointing in the right direction.
That was good.
This building has me turn around. Every time I say it's east, it's west.
It doesn't happen when he's outside. I do not understand it.
No, it's this building. No less than 7 mainline irrigation breaks out of that park. And I'm like, everybody's thinking we're going to have it all replaced. We called in a part of the company that we've subcontracted some of that to, brought in one of their most seasoned Cullman expert, and he was able to check the water pressure coming into the park at 140 PSI. And that was
hot.
During the day when other people are using water.
That's
he
hot.
Goes, at nighttime, I have no idea where your water pressure's at. So he did some, we did a lot of archaeology here.
Mm-hmm.
We found the main pressure reduction valve, it's probably called something more technical than that, and the diaphragm in it was broken. So we're replacing that, and we'll be able to dial the water pressure down to like a reasonable 80 PSI. And hopefully, I mean, we had just fixed one, it was made of a 90 degree turn. We had fixed it, we let it sit for a day, I mean, using the best, strongest glue we had, turn the water back on. The next night, we've got a geyser going again. It just blew that fitting right back off. So, good news is, and I'm knocking on particle board, that by reducing the pressure, we eliminate a lot of these. The good news is, I've got a lot of new valves out there. I mean, it blows these valves apart like there's no tomorrow. And the other good news, I try to be positive. I always look for the silver lining. We now actually know where all our valves are and where everything else is at Kristen McCullough Park. The sad thing is, and I won't hide it, where they ran the 4-inch main water line, they ran it right next to that row of, are those maples? No, the big trees, 60-foot tall trees.
Along the road.
Yeah,
on Mary Chase, where all the parents sit under them. The main line run right next to it.
4-inch line?
4-inch main line.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, sooner or later those roots find their water and then they constrict it and they crack things. So we've already cut, we had one root that was, I don't know, probably 4 inches around, just right on top of the line. So.
Director Scobie, any questions?
No.
Nope. And I have none, so thank you for that.
Yeah,
we're open to, which I should have done that with recreation, so open forum for both recreation, parks, and rec. People have questions, comments? We'd love to hear you. Yes, sir.
Hi, guys. Chuck Nielsen, here for our pickleball community.
Yes, sir.
And as you guys well know, we're feeling pretty frustrated. We're farmed out all over the place after losing Cameron Park Lake, and we know you're working on it. But we just wonder when and if it's going to happen. People don't believe me anymore. I say I go to all the meetings and they say it's going to happen, but everybody's just saying I don't think so. And there's over 300 of us that played regularly at the lake. We turned in that petition with 300 28 signatures, whatever. Anyway, when I drive past every day, I drive past with my part-time job and to go play pickleball somewhere else, I drive past the new volleyball courts, mm-hmm. and I'm jealous. I'm jealous. They made that thing happen quick. I'm a former contractor, and people would come to me with mm-hmm. a design, an idea, and we'd design it. We'd go and get I'd get my bid, and we'd build it, and I'd be done 2 months later. And so we're frustrated. We want to see something built, and I understand parking issues at Krista. I'd love to see 4 courts go in there, 6 if they would fit. I think they will with my measurements, and I don't think it impedes on soccer. And respectfully, I don't see the parking, at least during the week, being an issue because nobody plays soccer during the week, Monday through Friday. Weekends, we could talk about different things. Pickleball players only park on Mary Chase, or we could make that kind of stuff happen, but. We just like to see something positive move forward because, as I said last time, it's great people can play at the gym, but that's a tiny little handful
totally
of our community.
Yeah.
And it's not, for those that don't understand, it's not just a sport, something we go do. It's social. It's good exercise. We've got people out there in their 80s, late 80s. We've got people with Parkinson's.
Sure.
And now there's younger people that come in. The sport's not going away. And now we're burdening other communities by us going out and spending our money in other communities to go play. So, respectfully, I know you guys are working on it, and you know how passionate we are about it, but I just need to speak up and say that we're anxiously awaiting.
Yep. I always appreciate our conversations. I always appreciate your comments. Know that this team, it has not fallen off of our radar. We want to do it. We want to do it right. We want to do it as part of the bigger plan. We hear you loud and clear. I know pickleball's not going away.
No.
I know that. I want it here. I see that as being something that will draw more people to this community and more people to this community center and all of our facilities. So I don't want you to leave here thinking that we're not taking this seriously.
Right.
We are. I think it's 5 months now. 4 months, and we've been going with everything else. That is absolutely there. We've engaged an engineering firm. They're not doing engineering, but they're the engineering firm to look at everything. We are going to look at bringing on an engineering firm to kind of look at, okay, well, what does it really look like? What does the cost look like? What are the impacts? But I think we also want to hear from the citizens, especially at Krista, because we're going to hear it. And you're going to hear it. The moment we announce that we're doing something there, there's going to be an impact. With the schools there, yes, I agree with you during the week, but you're still going to have parking and things like that when school's in session. You drive down Mary Chase anytime the school's in session. It's busy over there. So we're looking.
I'm talking about the parking lot at Krista.
No, understand.
If there was 4 courts there, there's no way there'd be 15 cars.
Understand. Just, and I know you get this, there have been so many things, and not necessarily by the board, but more just previous staffs, where it was ready, fire, aim. And
I
we
know.
Really want to...
That's why we're in this situation.
That's why Mark is struggling with this robotic arm, and I'm like, oh my God, I wish it was not here. But it is, and so we're going to figure out how to make it work. Pickleball...
It's been over 2 years ago since we were kicked out of the lake.
Pickleball is coming to Cameron Park. I can guarantee that. Where and how, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. You got my word on that.
Thank you. Anyone else have input, comments? Yes, Barbara.
I told the chief, and I really want to commend you for the summer spectacular. First time in all the years that we come here, I have ever heard numbers right afterwards.
Thank you
very much.
You heard what again?
Numbers.
Oh, numbers. Oh, the... Right away, report immediately. Yeah,
before
it was all day exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all hands.
We waited forever.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And a lot of times we never knew.
Gotcha.
In fact, we really never knew that we were in the red until Fritzman came on board. So I want to thank all of you.
You
have done such a wonderful job with, and I've told you before, with the relationship with the fire department. I just can't thank you enough and all of your staff, you know. And then with Krista, I have spoken to Mark briefly, but I just want to tell you, we'd like to discussion with you. You know, I know a lot of people. I mean, I'm at my job. I'm hearing a lot of horrible things about what's going on at that skate park.
Yes.
And I've said it before.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep saying it. I was part of a large group that wanted to support that park. Prior admin and board didn't want anything to do with us. We all walked away, including my son at the time. They wanted him to open that concession, that building out of the
sure.
park, and he said no. But you have, and I mean, I'm talking, you have serious issues. And I'm hearing this from the teachers
Got it.
At the school.
Got
so
it.
I won't share yeah. publicly. I spoke with Mark, yeah. and I will talk with you. You need to do something.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate your comments. I know Mark spent a lot of time. We spent some money
yes.
out there. There's lots of graffiti, and he's taking
right.
care of that. We went out recently. There was a fence that was down, and this is part of our conversation with the church. We had no idea that it was down.
Right.
It was down for some time, and it was, well, Mark found the company. We were able to get out there, reutilize a lot of the materials there, and we did it, I won't say cheaply, but cheaper than putting a new fence in.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, right on the other side, it's a kids' playground for the church. With respect to the skate park, I think that'll be good for some good community input
yeah.
because we really need to, and this will sound bad, I don't mean it this way, is that still an asset that we want and we need? I think we have to ask that question because
what
going
did I
out
say
the there.
Last time? Fill it in and make it your pickleball.
Well, so ironically, the church, like I said, wants to build an administrative facility, and so they're very interested in trading that parcel. Land on the other
yeah.
side.
And I don't want to hear the board say, which I have over the years, oh, we're going to call the sheriff. It's not the sheriff's problem. It's this district's problem. And it's been this district's problem
yeah.
for years. So we really, for the sake of the young children that go out there and the parents, and, you know, the school would like to see it gone. You should,
I know.
You can have conversations. Like,
I understand.
Yeah.
It's the perfect design for nefarious behavior
know,
because
it's
poked right in the back corner. You can't see it from the road.
That's
you can't
right.
see it from the... It's perfect. And you go back there and you're like, oh, this is inviting trouble.
And, you know, don't get me wrong because Joe's skate park also had issues. As you know, my son's
sure.
little shop was there
yeah.
before he moved to Main Street. And what saved it? Jody, who was the head of Parks, County Parks,
gotcha.
Taking over that building and putting the parks office there.
Gotcha.
And that's what saved Joe's. Because, again, that was another park kind of off the beaten track. So, you know, I just feel that we really, I know we have a lot on our plate, but I hear it all the time from people.
I understand.
You know, and it's bad. So something needs to change.
Thanks for the input. Anyone else? Yes, go ahead, Brad.
Brad McMullen, Cameron Report. A couple things. One, if you reduce the pressure, you're going to have to readjust every one of those heads. So get ready for that one. But the other thing, too, is my recollection was there are pieces of property that this district owns. I would suggest we look at those as potential pickleball courts. I don't know what those layouts are, what the properties are, but instead of selling them, convert them.
We've looked at all those,
yeah.
and unfortunately, they all are right against residential areas, or the layout doesn't allow for. And
there's
and
a creek running
through. There's a creek running through. We've looked at all the properties. Krista, I will tell you that area. I don't think you can design a better area unless it's in the middle of nowhere. It's a perfect location for it at the park, next to the park, somewhere over there. I truly think it's the best perfect location. The volleyball court, that did go up pretty quick, but it was also a vacant lot. But I think we should focus on that location. We've looked at all of them, and the ones that the other properties that we have, I just don't think it'll support it because of the proximity of the residents.
Who owns that property that volleyball court's on?
The church does.
The church.
Yeah,
it's
church property, and he's leasing that land, and we are doing the administration and registrations for everybody going over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's packed on the weekends.
Well, it's a clever partnership. When
it's
you
a
think
great
about
partnership.
It. Yeah,
we
really
have
it
is.
It.
Yeah.
Anyone else that have input? Yes, ma'am.
We've been hearing about a swap between the church and the CSV for a piece of property for pickleball. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so we've had some very preliminary conversations. There's nothing in concrete at all. It was a conversation that started before I got here, and I picked it up again, and I went over and I met the pastor, and I met the facility supervisor, and And I said, hey, we want to build a better relationship. You know, what does that look like? And that's where they told us, well, we can start with you guys fixing your fence that we didn't know was down. So that's how the conversation started. And then, you know, I just asked the question. I go, well, your church is over here. You've got a beautiful facility. Why is your administrative building right here on Cambridge at the freeway? I just didn't understand it because we're out of room. And they didn't, when they planned it out, you have the church parcels, you have CSD parcels, and then the church owns three more parcels. And nobody could figure out, well, why did we let that happen? Either the park should have been pushed all the way down to the end, one way or the other, but now we're splitting all of their property. So they do want to build an administrative facility on their land there. But we've got the skate park, which is a parcel in and of itself. And then we have Krista, and then there's three parcels that the church owns. So we haven't had any official conversations. It was, hey, are you interested in selling? Are you interested in, they brought up, trading. That they brought that up when they said, we want to build this administrative facility. And we hadn't thought about that. There's obviously a skate park there. There's a kid play structure there. And something would have to happen with that. But with us looking at the whole skate park, it might be my initial thought was no way. You know, the community would go crazy if we get rid of the skate park. But I'm actually hearing the exact opposite. And so that might be a really good opportunity for us to do a land swap. They take that on, and we move the structure, play structures, maybe to the other side, or the land that we trade them. So those are the things that we're looking at, but we haven't done anything officially yet.
Anyone else? Well, thank you. If not, we move on to MOUs. General Manager?
Actually, I have a question. Tag team on other parcels. I know our empty parcels are not suitable for pickleball. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what type of outcry we would have, but Paul J. Ryan is up against the road, and it's slated also for a road widening.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side is church, so they
yes.
might not be happy about pickleball there. But their section, as it tapers down, have you looked at Paul J. Ryan Park?
We have. So okay. Not specifically for that, but obviously driving around, we were in the parking lot, and it looks beautiful back here. My man, this would be this would be a funnel of noise because there are residences on the other side.
Yeah.
It's a very large, windy parking lot that goes all the way around. And I think you would come up, you'd have the same issues because you would
windy
hear,
parking lot at Paul J. Ryan?
Yeah, so the
it's
church
just a
parking
church.
Lot. The church.
Oh, the church.
Yeah, so the
parking.
Church sits up here, and there's a lower section, an upper section,
uh-huh.
and then
okay.
another section over there. But you're fairly close to the residence, and it's all their land right now. So
okay.
what we own. You'd
is
have
it
to,
tapered?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
A,
just thought. Just
and it,
thought.
It goes all the way around, and we looked at that. I go, man, why do we own this?
We
I want to sell it.
Lot.
We want
we
to
go,
we
really?
Can sell that.
Yeah,
yeah we do. Buy. It's really weird.
The church needs to buy that thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
no.
nothing
but,
we can
okay.
do with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So on to MOUs.
MOUs, we can table that one for another day because there's no MOUs that we need to bring up just yet. We are going to be redoing.
We're going to actually have a sit down. We plan to have a sit-down with both swim teams come July. We're going to look at policies, procedures, and things like that. We want them to be more vested in us just as much as we want to be more vested in them. So we'll be looking at that just to do preliminary meetings in July.
And again, the lifeguard issue, is that going to be part of your MOU? Or, I mean, how did you that shortage or that challenge for you?
We are looking at the possibilities of having them help with that situation, but more or less it's going to come actually I honestly believe I'll probably get more lifeguards coming into the school year because right now there are so many people out there on vacation taking other jobs doing other things, multiple jobs like that, and once summer ends a lot of jobs will end as well, and because we are a year-round pool and a year-round facility and can provide options for kids, especially in things like the 4-H programs and the fire intern programs, I can take a lot of those kids once they're kind of back in school and more focused on that. They need the hours and we'll be capable of helping them fill them.
Good. I'm glad to hear there's a solution out there somewhere.
Our MOUs they're just outdated and they're...
Yes.
We are also actively working, just like with the fire department, with our swim teams. And so you'll see all of us, we'll go out there every morning, we'll meet with the coaches, we'll chat with them. They know that we're working different things, we're soliciting input from them and how to make things better as well. So we're rebuilding that relationship. Like I said, we've got the recruitment video here. but we want them to assist us with some of the things for this pool. We do a lot at this pool. We spend a lot of money at this pool. We now know what the cost is for the pool, by the way, in case you guys haven't heard. We do know. We want them to be part of it. We want them to be invested in that as well. So if that's fundraising, if that is, you know, like supporting our concession stand, that's one of the things they do. They bring their own concession stand in. Well, if you have 300 or 500 people here, that should be a CSD function. And those funds go back into replacing the flags and the ropes and the lifeguard chairs and you name it. We're constantly replacing something. Nobody gives us money for that. That comes out of the general fund. So those are the types of things that we're trying to get them to work with us on. Shade structures, we had a great conversation with Auditor Controller. I think we're going to be able to do some interesting things around here with the funds that we have. And so we want to make sure that we are getting them fully invested, just like our pickleball group, just like, you know, all of our other groups. This is your home, but we want it to be your home not just to use it, but we want it to truly be your home, so understand some of our pain and we can share that together a little bit. So we're working actively to build those relationships.
Thank you. Okay, item number four. Items.
I have a question.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. Go ahead, Rex.
So does our policies have the staff bringing MOUs to the board for approval, or is that something that
They're approved by the general manager. So
staff will
draft them, and the general manager approves them.
Okay, and then do you intend to bring them to the board at all, or have any conversation?
It wasn't my intention, unless there is something that was out of the ordinary, out of the general manager's purview to approve. I don't know that it necessarily should come to the board, unless that's something that you guys are requesting. But it's a simple document that just spells out what the rules are.
I'm familiar. It's just been a topic of discussion in the past.
Gotcha.
That's why I'm asking.
Gotcha. Okay. My personal opinion is that it's an operational item, and then that needs to stay at operations. If there's something, like I said, that's out of the ordinary or a request from one of the teams or one of the operators, yeah, we bring that to the board.
Okay.
But other than that, I think we leave it at the operational level.
Okay, thank you.
I guess mine is not so much approval as understanding. What are the issues and how does it address with the MOU? Just the lifeguard is an example. And I know water polo, I've got so many phone calls about water polo from Ponderosa.
We're looking.
Yeah. So it does come to us. So I think it's important we'd be knowledgeable and at least pretty well informed of what does the MOU include and are there things that we might recommend that would be a part of that maybe were overlooked or input that we might get from community members or other people as well.
Sure. I completely hear you. But understand there's hundreds of documents that come through the organization. And if it's an operational item, that's not necessarily where the board needs to be. However, if it's outside of the general manager's purview, if it's something odd, 100% we need to bring that to you. But if you were to give input on every single item that the CSD does, we would never get anything done.
If you have comments, I think maybe a one-on-one with the GM.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would be the best
anytime.
Way to approach
And you're welcome to come in anytime you want to look at them, 100%.
Okay.
It's
just
all
so that, I'm informed.
Absolutely.
To respond when somebody asks something. Okay, thank you. Okay, nothing. Okay, we move on to items for future committee meetings. Do we have anything that's going forward?
So next meeting? Nothing. Well, for number four, items for future meetings, I think we need to continue to talk about the deferred maintenance here at the facility. I think we will also have to have a conversation about the lake. There's lots of conversations going up there. I'll be doing another walk and talk with the GM out there. And we need to talk about water quality. That's going to be something important to us out there as well. And then what other attractions can we bring to the lake to drive more people to the lake to park and biannual passes. We're just, again, like you've heard me say before, we're at this turning point at the lake. Either it's going to be a wildlife preserve or we're going to bring it back to something where the community wants to come out there more. So thank you all. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. So that's kind of where with that, but that's going to be a big conversation for us. But I don't think that staff or the board should make that opinion. I really, really want the community's input on what do we want to do.
Yeah. Could you also bring, right now we have preliminary summer spectacular. It'd be nice to have a report with a sure. historical comparison.
Okay.
When you guys sift through all the numbers, it would be nice to get that, send it to the board in the consent calendar so everybody can see it.
Okay. We can do that.
That would be great.
And you had a lot of information for us today that we'd like to share.
Sure.
With the rest.
Absolutely.
Of the
we can do that.
Anything further?
No.
No? And then you've mentioned that we are going to have some sort of a review of all the parks and the funding and all that. I'd like to hear a time frame on that. When are we looking? Our next meeting is in 2 months. Is that something that would be appropriate in 2 months?
I would say that in 2 months we're going to have a big chunk of it done. A final document, maybe, maybe not. We're going to save money, and Mark and I and our team, we're all going to do that. We know the facilities. We're going to give a really good look at that. We'll put everything together. We'll look at the historical data. We'll bring all that in. We've got the Browning Reserve Study. We'll bring that information in, albeit old. We're going to update it. I think within 2 months you'll have at least a draft of that, if not the whole report.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that.
We just needed some breathing room after the budget. That was a heavy lift, obviously. Summer spectacular. Now I think we can take a deep breath, focus on that, along with the pickleball and the other facilities as well.
Okay, comment, question?
Mark, I may have missed it. Did you not talk about disc golf? Mm-hmm. It was on your agenda.
I kind of mentioned that the person that was running the disc golf out of the concession stand, they're gone.
Yeah.
So looking, what do we do now, next step?
Are they still playing?
There is a crowd out there every day.
They are. Absolutely.
But there was a concession before, or a contract or something that?
We had and I know this has gone to the board. I know it's gone to legal, so I'll touch on it lightly. But we had an individual that had an MOU and defaulted on that MOU. Somebody else came in. She signed a letter of agreement with that individual, not with the CSD. When we came here, I was out there one day. I'm like, who are you? He goes, well, I run the concession stand. I mean, do we have an agreement? No. Well, how much do you pay? I don't pay anything. I'm like, time out. Are you insured? Or do you have the whole list of things? And so we ended that relationship. It was very good. I gave him time. We ended the relationship. We cleaned everything up. But that was, it made me nervous all the time. It got broken into twice. And so with power tools and things like that, so we needed to terminate that. The other thing that, because this is what I do on the weekend is research, is we found, I don't know, there was 4 or 5 disc golf tournaments. And some of the names were not appropriate names, in my opinion. And I fired them to Mark and Clarissa. I'm like, hey, did you guys approve this? We cannot have this. And it was another promoter or disc golf group. They're putting tournaments on in our park without authorization, didn't ask. They were doing all of that, and they were collecting funds and all of these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, and they had a kitty for the winner.
Yes. Yeah. We got to get a handle on this. And so we're doing that. The last straw was when, the last, operator, he basically called and said, hey, I'm not making any money. The porta potty I've been paying for, I'm having it removed. It was gone the next day, and so I just sent him a letter and said, hey, you're evicted. So, but it was good. We had a really good chat. I let him know, hey, here's why. CSD wants to bring that back and look at our options. We're going to look, and we've already met with one individual to potentially run the concession stand and the disc golf course. We have to be out of the disc golf course business. I got to tell you, there's not a penny that comes in from disc golf. And so we've got to have somebody else running that.
We'll have the gate entry fee.
We'll have the gate entry fee, but disc golfers are not they don't spend a lot of money. And so we have to find a better way to maintain that. The other thing that was done, and it's public knowledge, is the first operator sold whole sponsorships for $1,000 a piece. I believe she sold 13 of them. And that $1,000, so all that money went to her directly, $13,000. And it was basically a lifetime sponsorship, but they had to maintain each one of those holes. But the problem is that we didn't know. We didn't get the funding. And so now we've got these 13 families that have lifetime sponsors. What do we do? So we're going to get legal involved. We're going to figure that out. But understand, it's a mess.
So maybe in 60 days you'd give us an update on that.
You'll have an update sooner than that.
But okay, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, sooner than that for sure.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Does the gentleman that gives tennis lessons have an MOU? Or is he just doing it on
his own? We've heard that he's out there. I've not been able to verify it.
He's been doing it for a long time.
I've heard that several times from several people. If I can find him, I need to have a conversation with him.
Do you know where he's out there?
It's a public park and he needs an MOU.
I can find out.
He needs an MOU.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, we appreciate it. He's monetizing our park, and that's not okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and like you said, insurance.
Exactly.
Some kid gets hurt, some attorney's going to say, got some deeper pockets.
Absolutely. No, I've heard that, but I never seen him.
Alan complained about him. It's been quite a while.
Okay.
It's been there for years.
My wife's a town supporter.
Okay. Have her snap a couple pictures next time.
Okay. Get his license plate.
Thank you. Do we have anything to take to the board of directors?
Nothing to take to the board. We'll just give a summer spectacular full report for the board, and that'll be everything.
And ActiveNet.
And ActiveNet. Well, that'll just be in the general manager report, just an update. But the contract will be on the agenda.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
Okay. Matters to and from. General manager, you have anything further?
I can't stress how impressed I am by this small but mighty team. They work their tails off every single day. It's been an honor working with each and every one of them. The fire department's been absolutely amazing to work with. Just this morning, Dusty and I, we talked probably an hour every other day. The engine 388 is going back in service tomorrow morning, and it's already going to be rented out.
Wow.
And so it's gone. The engine 288... I sent the auction, if you will, or sealed bid information over to the attorney to review, and I'll be going down that process. Other than that, that's it. Thank you.
Treasurer Scobie?
I have a couple of notes here real quick questions I wanted to ask.
Sure.
For the shade structures out there at the pool, are we going to get to, at this committee, going to get a chance to 100%. Look at those?
Okay, yes. Good. My plan is to bring a plan back to you, both a engineering architectural plan as well as where the funding will come from, but I will tell you that's probably the largest complaint that we get, and we're baking people out there.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. And then the concession at Krista next to the is that something you've opening up, you know, our other two at Krista and here, have you given consideration to opening it up at Krista?
No, we honestly need to tear that building down. There's holes in the roof.
There is no roof.
There is no roof.
Really?
It's dangerous, and it's no longer lockable. We need to tear it down.
Okay, just quick. Yeah. Just my question. Yeah, and the other thing is that I, too, want to thank you for all your work and your amazing job at the Summer Spectacular. It's one of our namesake community events, and for you guys to come in this rapidly and pull it off and have a sold out 3,000 people is beyond belief. So I cannot gush about it enough on what that means to our community, because it is who we are. That Summer Spectacular, it touches a lot of people, and the fact that we've been doing this air show. There was a comment on Nextdoor that there's somebody who went into their safe room because they thought they didn't know what it was.
Oh, I saw something like that too. Yeah.
And so we might need to work a little bit on messaging for some of those people. I know you do work hard on messaging, but I thought that was pretty entertaining.
I'm just disappointed I don't have a safe room.
So, and then everything with Rec, with the sold out day camps, and I went to sign up for swimming lessons for my grandson, they're all sold out by the time I got there, and I'm looking for private instructor, so you definitely had a lot of information that personally affected me, so I can't thank you all enough for all of the work. I'm really pleased in 5 months how, the other way I can tell that you guys are doing a good job is I don't have 20 angry emails in my inbox every week, so I open my email once a week now, maybe there's nothing.
Yeah.
So, except for from you guys.
I have the same experience. I think we tripled. I think we were about 1,000 last year.
I think so.
So, I mean, that's just, I mean, you're short time, all three of you, but to triple it, it's just extraordinary. And it's, Chris, the thing, I used to go to the asparagus facility in Stockton. At some point, its success killed it. You know, it presented a whole other set of problems. So that might be one of those things. Are we going to reach what is the optimal number there? And maybe we're not there yet, but or how do we deal with problems like parking or whatever? But those are nice problems to have, you know.
Sure.
That we may have reached the max on it that we can do it, but yeah. But again, I can't say enough good things about it. Just what a you have to pass that on to every employee. Just what an extraordinary effort on everybody's part, and just as you said, there was I can't even pronounce the word. Synonymous. When you work together.
Synergy.
Thank you. There was amazing synergy on every level. So so you guys, I can't say enough good things. Thank you so much.
Chief, Dusty complimented you to me on how hard you were working. And also JR told me today that you just were there all those days. So
I support them.
And
chief supporter.
He leads by example.
So kudos for all of you. But to see that you're out there.
Thank you.
Thank Chuck.
Okay. So hard for 3 days.
Motion to adjourn is in order.
I move to adjourn.
I second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are right here.
I want to share one thing. So I went and got my hair cut.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Down in El Dorado Hills.
Thank you.
And while I'm in the barber shop, one guy was talking to his stylist and said,